This episode of Taking Notes is brought to you by Collaboration University, the first and only independent technical conference specifically for same-time and quick-place professionals. Collaboration University has over 30 sessions dedicated to giving you the most in-depth education for same-time and quick-place. Learn about development, administration, and the new versions of both products, including brand new material and code never seen outside IBM. Coming September 13th through the 15th in Kansas City and September 27th through 29th in London. Register now at www.collaborationuniversity.com. Again, that's www.collaborationuniversity.com. It's time for the Wonder Twin Powers of Bruce and Julian. It's time for Taking Notes.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of the Taking Notes podcast for Thursday, August 17th, 2006. My name is Zaina, or Bruce Elgort, and I am here with...
Jana, or Julian Robichaux.
Wait, thanks, John Rowling.
Shape of an ice modem.
You guys, anyone out there remember that cartoon?
I grew up with the Super Friends. I used to love the Wonder Twins. Well, I actually didn't like the Wonder Twins. Even at that age, I thought they were goofy, but I used to love the Super Friends so much that, you couldn't... And I think that they had a monkey. Was it Gleek?
Yeah, something like that.
I think.
I remember
that. A little
that.
Green monkey.
I woke up... The last two mornings, I woke up, and what's playing in the morning on TV? Gigantor. Do you remember that one?
No. Is that... No, that sounds like one of the Ultraman takeoffs. Was that kind of like a big dinosaur, big robot thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, let's talk about everything Lotus Notes and Domino. Hey, John Rowling, thanks for that new intro.
Nice job again.
We appreciate your creativity, and we like playing off of it. We may have a new beginning next week, folks, but we'll let you know. And we'd like to thank Collaboration University for sponsoring episode 28. So, Julian, yeah. How you been?
I've been good. I'm still kind of stuffy, so I apologize. I'm kind of nasally when I'm talking here.
Well, that's okay. I'm nasally. I'm a ex-New Yorker. Well, I'm always a New Yorker. But hey, how about Monday's announcement? Same time on Linux. What'd you think?
I thought that was big. I thought that was and just because I've heard so many people on forums and in various places say that they've migrated a lot of their servers over to Linux and same time it's just one of the things that's holding them back. Mm-hmm. So and that's also one of these things where we were kind of hearing several years ago that, yeah, well, there's really not a whole lot of effort behind that, and all of a sudden, just from out of nowhere, boom, there's a Linux same time server. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, from what I can gather, the only portion that won't run on Linux is what they call the, and this is true now for people who run it on iSeries and stuff like that, is the Windows Attachment Server, I think they call it. So
what is that? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's something that converts attachments for, I guess, maybe the online meetings or something. I'm not sure. Maybe a listener can post a comment. But I had a chance on Monday evening to sit down with Adam Gartenberg, who we interviewed a couple, months ago when Same Time 7.5 was announced. So let's take a listen to my interview with Adam.
Let's do that.
All right. Take it away, Adam and Bruce.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, so today we announced that we will be delivering a Linux server for Same Time. So in addition to the Same Time client that runs on Linux, it will be available when Same Time 7.5 ships in the next 30 days or so. We'll be delivering in the first half of next year a Same Time server that can run on Linux.
Hey, what specific versions of Linux will you run it on?
We're looking at the Red Hat Enterprise Linux and the Novell SUSE Linux, SUSE Enterprise server. The specific versions we'll have to see as we get closer to the delivery and exactly what version we'd be supporting there. But I'm guessing it'll be whatever the latest version is available at the time.
So this is chat services, meeting services, the whole enchilada, right?
The whole enchilada.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. If I said it's about time, I probably, getting a round of applause right now. So, excellent. Great.
No, it's something that we know a lot of people have been looking for, and just want that the choice and to move off of Windows. We have a lot of people running that have been running Domino servers on Linux for a while now and have been coming to us saying, you know, I want to get rid of that last Windows box. And so we're glad to be able to offer people a chance to do that now.
Excellent. So speaking of same time for Windows, when will we see the shipping version of 7.5?
It should be coming in the next 30 days or so. Stay
tuned.
You're
going to be a busy boy.
Our development team is very busy right now. But yeah, we'll definitely let people know when it's available.
All right.
And it should be it's coming up soon.
All right. So 30 days from today. So that's mid-September. So or early September.
Well, if not sooner, it's within the next 30 days.
All right. Let's see. There were also some announcements that came out since the last time Julian and I spoke to you on the May podcast we did on Same Time 7.5. I think one of those had to do with Microsoft Office integration and the other with mobile devices.
That's right. This is one that you can probably appreciate. We announced at the end of June that just like we've been offering instant messaging integration into Notes for going on a couple of years now, I think, embedded in the inbox and calendars and everything, right, 6.5.1. We'll be offering Outlook users a way to see presence for their contacts in their inbox, be able to start a chat, full features of Same Time 7.5, schedule a Same Time web conference from their Outlook calendar, or launch an instant collaboration session directly from there. As well as for everyone using Microsoft Office applications, which I'm guessing is most of our listeners out there.
Probably.
Being able to go and see presence of live names inside their documents, being able to launch a web conference directly from there. So, really excited about that.
Is there a name for that product, by the way?
There isn't. We're calling it Microsoft Integration. So okay. We'll have to come up with a catchy code name or buzzword for
just
it as we
keep it under a couple words. No
IBM Lotus.
Right. Cold
integration
dead fish.
For we're trying to get better at that.
And the mobile stuff?
And the mobile stuff, yeah. So the Microsoft stuff will be available in first quarter next year. The mobile stuff will be available fourth quarter of this year. And so we're actually end of lifing the Same Time Every Place product that's been out there for a while now. And replacing it with some full functional, a lot of new features coming in, mobile clients. So the two key things here are, one, it'll be entitled to all Same Time users. And the other is, again, a lot of rich functionality available for BlackBerry devices, for Windows Mobile devices, for Nokia devices. As much of that 7.5 functionality as we can fit on there. Voice over IP, business card lookup, emoticons, multi-way chat, all of it. All of it integrated in there on your mobile device.
And when will we see that?
That is slated for fourth quarter of this year.
Okay, so soon.
Soon, yeah. It's coming up. It's all happening really fast.
Excellent. So if people want to learn more about Same Time and Adam Gartenberg, where should they go?
They should go to www.adamgartenberg.com.
All right, Adam, thanks for taking some time to talk about today's announcements, the Office integration, and the mobile products.
My pleasure.
Speak with you soon.
Take care.
All right. Well, thank you, Adam and Bruce, for doing that interview. I was going to say, Bruce, that Adam is one of these guys who just really recently started blogging, and he's just been pumping out some information.
Yeah, I've been following his blog every day.
Yeah, it's very timely because obviously there's a lot of things going on around the same time right now with 7.5, the client, the Linux server here, and the whole Eclipse thing and stuff like that. So that's been just a great addition to the pages and pages and pages of things that I try to read every day.
Yeah, and I suspect that, which we'll talk about in a little while, is LotusVR. I suspect that QuickPlace and Same Time will have more than three or four sessions at LotusVR this year. So, Ben Poole sent in a little audio clip regarding the announcement of Domino Wiki 1.1. So, let's have a listen.
Hello, this is Ben Poole. Just an update on Domino Wiki 1.1. We've got a multilingual user interface for the web side of things. It's looking good. Loads of people have stepped up to do some translations for me, and I'm very, very grateful to those chaps. What else? We've got page difference with versioning. Thank you very much to Matthew White of 11tmr.com for bringing us that. sundry tweaks and bug fixes. I've even written some of those. And this is going to be the documentation release. There's actually going to be some documentation. Please keep the discussion up on the site. It's doing well and it's getting read, and I'm even listening to some of it. And you can find more of that at openntf.org.
Well, all right then. Hey, and you know, he mentioned the whole diff engine in there. And that's Matt White, is that who did it?
Matt White, 11mtr.com.
Yeah, and that's no trivial task. I mean, that whole diff thing is, it's kind of a, not only is that an important part of wikis just in general, because it allows you to roll things back, but I think that's, well, that's a neat thing to have added.
Yeah, I
can't
wait.
So go out and download it.
I use it at my place of business, and we love it. So, hey, Lotusphere 2007.
At last. And
yeah.
And that's is January 6 months away right now? Is that what it is? I mean, we're pretty far, although this is, I guess, the same time they did the registrations last year. But, you know, boy, it's a long time to be kind of excited about Lotusphere. But darn it, I am anyway.
Right on. And for those of you who want to register and haven't read it online anywhere, it's www.ibm.com/lotus/lotusphere. And I think if you go to www.lotusphere.com, it's still pointing to 2006, but I think it's going to point to 2007 real soon.
That should be resolved very shortly.
Yes.
Maybe by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah. So they're also calling for abstracts for Birds of a Feather and Sessions. Last year, Sessions were 60 minutes instead of, I think, what were they in the past, 50 minutes?
Ooh, I'm not sure.
Ooh, trivia question.
Yeah.
So, Julian, you did a session last year, right?
Yeah, Tom Duff and I did the Domino, let's see, Java for the Domino Developer Jumpstart session, which was actually 2 hours long.
Uh-huh. It was great.
So, yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate
that. What about
this year? We've been talking about that. I think we're going to try to get on the list again, because that seemed to be a fun session to do, and it seemed to be pretty well received. So hopefully we'll be able to do a repeat on that. And I haven't really decided if I'm going to try to submit any other abstracts. Are you going to do an OpenNTF one again?
I'm going to try to. I think Vince and I are going to probably try to do one this year. Maybe a little different than last year, try to run through some more applications. I mean, there's a ton of great stuff out there. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's gone on in the blogosphere now regarding, you know, the Nifty 50 and, you know, common UIs and, you know, all that stuff. So
yeah,
we'll see. We will see.
We'll see. We'll go out there and register. You know, it's and if you're not going to register, what?
You watched your DVD at all?
No, you know, I haven't. I think I have mine and yours and Bill Buchan and Paul Mooney when they did the worst practices.
You know, I show Bill Buchan and Paul Mooney at parties I have. You know that? it gets people going.
Oh, do you now?
Hey, before we move on to that Lotus Security certification that Chris Miller and Chris Byrne blogged about, let's just remind everyone that Collaboration University will be held September 13th through 15th in Kansas City, and September 27th through September 29th in London. And you can register now at www.collaborationuniversity.com. Again, www.collaborationuniversity.com. And you know, Julian?
Yes?
I heard Rob's going to have a kegger.
I don't see why I wouldn't. I mean, it's a university, right?
Yeah, and he takes that university metaphor pretty far. The guy's got like 4 degrees, right? PhD.
Does he?
He's got an MRS degree. No, that's Liz. I'm sorry.
Liz. Oh, well, you know, maybe there's some osmosis. Well, and you know, for anyone who's listening right now, one of the big things they're going to be talking about at Collaboration University is the new Quick Place.
Right.
And that was Quick Place 8, and we had an entire podcast on that in our last episode. So if you haven't listened to that and you want to kind of get in the mood for Collaboration University, then go ahead and listen to our previous podcast. And Rob is on there, and he talks a little bit about Collaboration University, but mostly about Quick Place. So it's coming.
All right. Julian, you want to talk about the Lotus Security Certification, or...?
Yeah, I don't know too much about it. Just the fact that there is a new certification, and is it only one test? I didn't get a whole lot of information on it.
I think you had to have some prerequisites on ND7 somehow, but there was something unique about this Lotus security certification, and that was, you know how when you take the current series of tests, you have to just get an overall passing score of 75. Well, mm-hmm. Now you have to have, you know, some passing grade. I think it's 75, but each of the various sections you also have to pass. So, if, like on the admin test, if you didn't understand replication too much, but you knew everything else, you could still pass the exam. In the security certification, you ain't gonna pass.
and that's really an admin test, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Everyone should know about security. As a developer, don't give me that.
Well, and I'm not even really a certification guy, but from what I understand, the newer certification tests, the ones for 7, have actually gotten a little bit harder.
Ooh.
So I don't know if maybe we can get some feedback on that from some of our listeners, but I think they're actually a little bit more difficult than they used to be. Uh-huh. I don't think they were ever a walk in the park, but this low security one might just really whack you over the head.
And the other thing I'd like to hear from the audience too is, you know, how important do you consider getting certification nowadays? So, you know, just your feedback is appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, Julian. J.P.
Yes.
Leggett from New York City sent in a question, so let's take a listen.
Okay.
Hey, Julian and Bruce. This is J.P. Leggett from New York City. I had a question about setting up some categorized views for use in an outline. I have several groups of users, and when they come into the database, I want them to just see their own documents. I have readers and authors already working, but the views are categorized, and I'm getting totals from documents that they're not allowed to see. So how could I use a categorized outline or view in an outline to do that? Thank you very much for your answer.
All right. I think you probably want me to answer that one, don't you, Bruce?
Yeah, you're the geeky developer. I'm the geeky admin with some developer skills.
Yeah. Well, I have a guess. I don't know if it's the real answer. But my guess is that when you're dealing with readers' fields, what happens when with views and view indexes is the database still has all of the documents essentially in the view index, mm-hmm. and then when you actually see the view within the client or on the web when you're authenticated, then what it's doing is it's taking, you know, that one index and it's kind of filtering it down to the documents that you can actually see. So it's not like it's going to keep a different index for every single person that's going to view it based on their ability to see or not see documents. So when the index is generated, one of the things that it generates is categories. As a matter of fact, there's an article on the Lotus Developer Domain site talking about readers' fields and views and how you should categorize your views, because if you categorize and then collapse your views, then it actually it makes the display of the views faster, and we'll have a link to that article on our show notes. And I have a feeling with the totals, really kind of the same thing applies. The totals don't get recalculated whenever you look at the view and it kind of does its magic with the reader's fields. I have a feeling that the totals are actually just a part of the index, mm-hmm. and probably what's happening is you're going in there, you're not seeing all the documents, but you're seeing the entire total because the totals just simply don't recalculate.
Right.
And I'll go ahead and if that's completely wrong, I'll try to verify that. If it's wrong, then I'll correct myself later on. But that's probably what's going on. I'm not really sure what you can do about that.
All right. Talking about development stuff, 341 show and tell Thursday posts. Since February. Woohoo! That's very good.
And today being Thursday, that should be even more, right?
Correct.
That was as of last week.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your favorite posts, Julian?
Some of my favorite posts. Well, I kind of picked.
Oh, I was going to say.
These are a few of my favorite posts. Well, we'll put links up to both of these on the show notes. The two that I picked out from that very large crowd, and there's so many I like. So don't I don't know why I gave preference to these two, but they just kind of jumped out. One was actually one by John Rowling, and he did this post in June, and it's kind of one of those simple little things that's just very useful, and it's also something that most people don't know about. I think I had read about this one time and just promptly forgotten about it. So, and what he described was how when you have a database template, what you can do is you can actually put group names or regular names within brackets
right.
in the template, and then when you create a database based on that template, then the things in brackets become default ACL entries in the database. Mm-hmm. And that's just very handy, because a lot of times you want to put a lot of those kinds of defaults in your database based on the template, and that way you can you're not necessarily enforcing something, but it makes the setup a lot easier. So one of those just really cool, handy little things that if you're using templates to roll out your databases can be really pretty handy.
And John, we're not trying to kiss up to you after we fired you last week, but I had no idea which two Julian were going to pick. So what's your second one, Mr. Robichaud?
The second one was actually an Alan Bell one that was from several months ago as well. And he just talked about spreadsheets and kind of generating Excel spreadsheets from LotusScript. And that's a topic that's really been discussed several times. And what's neat about it is not only that he talks about a way to do it and put some classes out there that you can actually use, but also in some of the comments, there's some other people that kind of come back, or at least one other person, I think, who is this here. Andre from BotStation, who says, "Oh, by the way, you know, here's one that I use," and so you know, there's yet another set of classes, and that's just something. In fact, I just finished up a project where that was one of the things we had to do, is we had to export data to spreadsheets, and that's something that just kind of keeps coming up. So, good information.
And if you want to see all 341 posts, Rich Schwartz, we'll put a link to his blog in the show notes. Rich Schwartz has an aggregator that he wrote, which aggregates all the Show and Tell Thursday stuff, as well as you can look at TechnoRatty, and we'll put a link to that as well. So speaking of John Rowling is back from outer space this week to give us this week's OpenNTF update. So take it away, John.
Hello again. I'm back from outer space to find Bruce and Julian with that sad look upon their face. Yes, it's John Rowling with another OpenNTF update. The ASND Mass Mailer version 1.0 is out now from Sean Burgess. Catch Sean at his Fig Said What blog at, fittingly, figsaidwhat.com. That's PHIGSAIDWHAT.com. An early alpha release of Leroy Grubb's timesheet application is now at version 0.01. This is a Domino 6 and 7 timesheet application with an AJAX library. Vince Yaya Schurman has released version 7.0.2 of the very classy OpenNTF mail experience. Vince blogs at blog.vinceschurman.com, and that's VinceschurmanCom. Project Dolmio, managed by Andrew Culbert, is now at 0.9.1. Dolmio is a website template that uses Domino as a document store and the Molio CSS template to present information in the browser. mPortal version 3.1 by Mike McPoyle and Birdchest is out now. mPortal is a Domino Portal intranet solution. What are you waiting for? And finally, Blogsphere 2.5.6 is out now. Blogsphere is managed by Declan Lynch, Rocky Oliver, Tom Duff, Joe Litton, Christian Brenliner, and Chad Sheffalt. And don't worry, folks, as long as I still have incriminating photos of Bruce, I'll be back with another OpenNTF update. For OpenNTF, I'm Greyhawk68.
Well, thanks, John. You know, we were only really kidding about, you know, firing you, and you getting all serious with us, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So sad.
Toga.
You must be talking about Collaboration University again,
yeah,
Bruce.
Our show sponsors today. Hey, one more thing for today's show, everyone out there in Taking Notes podcast land, is that we have about a 6-minute lecture from no other than Mr. Carl Tyler from Instant Technologies, where Carl talks about how to have an effective online meeting. And I listened to this, you know, I mean, I listened to it before, you know, before I dubbed it into the show here, and it was truly great. And I think Carl also has some notes on this on his blog, so we'll put a link to that in the show notes. So take it away, Mr. Tyler.
Hi there, my name's Carl Tyler. I'm Chief Technology Officer with Instant Technologies based in Durham, New Hampshire. And I was recently speaking to Bruce Elgort, who asked me to just make this recording on some of the recent hints and tips I've posted to my blog concerning Lotus Same Time and meetings. If you're interested in seeing these on my blog, you can actually find them at www.iminstant.com. So there's a few tips, really, on how to hold effective same-time meetings. One of the first ones that I always do when having a same-time meeting is to schedule the meeting within same-time, 15 to 20 minutes before it's actually due to start. This gives me an opportunity to sort out any issues that may arise before the customer gets there, but it also gives me time to prepare my screen and my presentation area, so that when the customer joins, they don't have to see me doing things like resizing my slides or loading slides on their screen. What I like to do is have an introduction slide loaded in my whiteboard. And on that introduction slide, I'll have things like the company logo, the telephone number for dialing in and joining a conference call if there's one associated with the meeting. But it's also a good screen for people to see whilst they're just sitting there waiting before I actually start the presentation. If you're going to be doing screen sharing of your entire screen, it's a good idea to change your screen resolution to 1024 by 768 or less if possible for the application you're showing. Most often, the average user is still using 1024 by 768 screen resolution. So if you share your screen and you're lucky enough to have a nice 21-inch LCD monitor running at 2200 by 1500, that poor person at the other end of your presentation is going to be scrolling around like crazy trying to see what you're presenting. So think of the other person at the other end and what resolution they're running. If you do have another machine available, it's often a good idea to actually have that machine logged into the meeting so you can actually see how the slides and things are loading and looking at the other end. So you will then see what your customers are seeing when they come into the meeting. Obviously, that isn't always convenient, but if you do have a colleague that shares an office with you, it is a handy thing to do so you can see them. Now, one of the great tips that I have is don't use PowerPoint in full screen show mode when you do a slideshow. Within PowerPoint, you can go into Tools Slideshow Setup, and you can tell it to play the presentation in a window. That allows you to then just share the area of the screen that you want to show contain the presentation, but you'll still get all the multimedia effects and things within the slideshow presentation when somebody else is watching it. And actually on my blog, I posted a video that shows you how to do that. So if you're unsure how to do that, be sure to go to the blog and find that video. Another thing that a lot of people aren't aware of is it is possible within same time to alter the number of colors that are sent to the other party in a screen share. So for example, if you're not sharing things like pictures or fancy presentations with lots of colors, and you're only sharing something like a Word document or a document that doesn't have many colors like a spreadsheet, things like that, then be sure to set your tools preferences to optimize for performance versus optimize for image quality. Now obviously if you're doing something like showing pictures of product box shots or something where the picture quality is important, then be sure to select optimize for image quality. But you will get a performance hit when you do that. So the screen share is much slower if you choose to share all the colors. I also have some other tips that were actually posted to my blog, oh boy, a good few years ago now, but they're still relevant. You yourself can change the color depth of your machine. So if you're by default set to something like 32-bit color mode, you could reduce that to 16-bit color mode, and it can reduce a great deal the information that has to be sent across the network to the other person. There's also other things that can impact the performance when you're doing something like a screen share of your desktop, such as, you know, fancy Windows desktop images for the background. You know, if you post a 1 megabyte file as your Windows backdrop, you've got to send that to everybody for your presentation. So sometimes it can be a good idea to turn that off before you present. Turn off features in the same time web meeting you don't use. They're just a distraction for people. So if you're not going to use web polling or pushing web pages, you can just turn those off before when you schedule a meeting, so that doesn't bother people. I also find it's actually a good idea to have a test meeting running all the time, so that when you send details to your customers of the meeting they're going to attend, they can go to a test meeting before to make sure that that's working okay and they can hit your server through their firewall. And also, we have a great tool on our website, which is free at www.instant-tech.com on the downloads page, which is a meeting test page that checks for things like pop-ups, if there's a Java virtual machine installed, those kinds of things. Another thing that people often forget about is that when you're giving a presentation online, avoid using the mouse or dragging windows around too much. Every change you make on that screen has to be sent to the other people. So it's important to do that. And then if you're a Notes customer, a kind of obscure thing, but it actually makes a big difference on the amount of data that's sent to the other end, is if you use the Lotus Workspace in Lotus Notes, be sure to turn off the textured backdrop. That makes a huge difference to the amount of data that has to be sent to the other end in that screen presentation. And then finally, my last piece of advice for doing an online meeting, and this is true for any meeting, is start the meeting on time. If you do regular meetings and you schedule them for, say, 10 in the morning, but you always start them at 10:15, people will just arrive later and later. Start them at the time you say they're going to start, and by scheduling the meeting in the meeting center a few minutes before the presentation actually starts, then people can get in there and they can wait. So that's really my advice for meetings that you're hosting through Sametime. Sametime meetings are still no different to regular meetings. You still want to have an agenda. You still want to finish with conclusions and follow-ups. So you'd be sure to follow regular meeting advice as well when giving a presentation through Sametime. So have fun, and I'll pass you back to Bruce.
Well, thanks, Carl. That was pretty good. Julian.
Always good to hear from Carl.
Isn't it? You know, I have another interview with Carl that I have to... The sound quality isn't too great, but I'd like to consider putting it on. It's an interview with a gentleman from eWeek Collaboration Labs, but we'll see.
I think we could probably fit that in next week.
I think so. Anything else for episode 28, Julian?
No, I think that's it. Once again, I think we'd probably like to thank our sponsors, Collaboration University and Rob Novak specifically. And, again, that website is www.collaborationuniversity.com, and we'll have links for that and links for a bunch of other stuff that we've talked about here today. And hope you guys are enjoying the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks again, everyone, for your support. We had record downloads of episode 27. I think it was like 532 in less than a day or something like that. So, you know, for our little small world in the Notes Domino, you know, solar system. Hey, Julian, did you hear about those three planets, by the way? The three new planets?
There's new planets?
Oh, come on.
I did not. I didn't read the news.
That?
No.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that on the next episode.
All right.
Everyone, take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, guys, don't forget about Willikai. It's some giant secret they're going to announce there. Wonder if it's a mascot. Oh, well, I guess we'll find out at Collaboration University.